Alright, recording has begun.
Alright, we'll call the meeting to order. And she has the attendance, but we're gonna go around the room just for everybody that's, you guys know who the board is, right? I'm Pat Austin, board chair.
Tim Jenness.
Terry Rollins.
Wendell Hastings, road foreman.
And Colleen's our...
I'm the assistant clerk and treasurer.
And you?
Brian Miller.
Caroline Miller.
Troy Porter.
Sue LaPointe.
Jason LaPointe.
Lori Wright.
Blair Bolton.
Dwayne Bolton.
Linda Hurlbut.
Craig Hurlbut.
Alright, thank you. Alright, are there any changes or additions to the agenda?
Nope.
Wait, I have one, that we have a hydraulic study from Westmore Road that Wendell will have more to say about, so that can either be under road report or new business, whatever works best.
Okay, look for a motion to approve the minutes from the July 23rd meeting.
I'll make one.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Close. Alright, that brings us to public comment. Looks like we got a few people here, so who would like to start?
We're here about East Echo Lake Road.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
They're having a lot of erosion and causing the driveways to wash out. And don't think it's done correctly. They're wondering if anything can be done about it. It's washing a bunch of driveways out, causing sediment to go right in the lake.
I think you had talked to the Better Roads people?
Yeah, and he said that he spoke to Wendell. Wendell said everything's correct and done properly. And
He actually told us that everything was correct and done properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll give you a little history on the project and how it came about. There was some complaints of people that were getting a lot of excess water flow in the lower point of East Echo Lake Road. And there was some recommendations and some... We put a lot of time into looking into it. We sent everybody letters, said if anybody wanted any input, wanted to see what we were doing and why we were doing it. It was supported by V-Trans. It was actually the recommendation from V-Trans. It was supported from Better Roads. And it was supported by the Mempamag Watershed Association. So the responsibility of the town with the road is to dispel the water as quickly as possible off the road. That's everywhere. Like, it's to get it to shut off the road quickly. Anybody down gradient of a road, their job is to accept the water. How they accept it is up to them. So there's been a lot of people over there that have done some work to their driveways, water bars, crown to the roads, the driveways. So the sediment that's running out of your driveway is coming off your property. It's not because of anything that the town did. We actually limited the amount of sediment that's running into the lake by getting the, because when the water runs down the road, it collects sediment and gravel and then disperses it onto and into the lake or into the brooks. So what we did is we took all them high berms off on the side. There were some people that had flower gardens, driveways that were even paved, and everybody was treated exactly the same by the recommendation from these organizations. I understand it changed the flow of water in them places, and so you got.
I thought the town was responsible for the runoff, to manage the runoff, not the landowner.
No.
And then, like, the ditching, none of the ditching's been lined. That's going right in the lake.
If you have a ditch, why is the water not going into the ditch? Why is it all coming down our properties through our grass? Like, all my driveway goes right into my yard.
Where do you live, ma'am?
29, Wickham Lane.
Are you on the, so you're on the lower, on the lake side?
I'm on the east side.
The lake side, yeah, the lake side of the road.
Yeah.
So you're on the lower side of the road. We don't maintain a ditch on the lower side of the road.
There's a ditch on the other side of the road, though.
On the upper side of the road.
Right.
So it goes all the way down right in
front
of
it. But why can't that road slant towards the ditch and then have lining in the ditch that filters all that sediment instead of coming to us and having us deal with it?
The road is crowned in the center, which is the recommendation and the process, and it's standard in every town.
I'm reading it a lot different than that.
How come the water never came down the driveways before?
Yeah.
Because you guys had a berm built on the edge of the driveway, and it wasn't just you guys, it was all the way down the edge of that road. So everybody had built up a berm, whether it was lawns, and I'm sure you saw some major projects that were done on people's land, and a lot of people met us, and we said, the water needs to go here. People that had driveways built. There's one guy, I remember, met with us, and he said, I'm going to let you put a ditch right down my lawn, because I get it. It cannot continue to flow down to the neighbor's land. It's got to disperse from the roads. So I understand there's an impact, but the complaint that the berms are gone and the water's dissipating from the road is exactly what the point of the project was.
This is coming from the road, though. It's not coming from my driveway.
Correct.
And it's not sheet flow like everybody says. This is concentrated flow. It's not correct.
Well, everybody's looked at it, and everybody agrees that we did it right.
Do I have to call DEC? I mean,
they would probably tell you to fix your property.
You and I talked on the road that day, and I said, what is happening here? You said to me, these driveways are not going to wash out.
Everybody's getting the same amount of water down that side of the road.
But you told me it wasn't going to happen. You said, you're going to see a difference. And I mean, back in the day, we didn't have these issues. And so now it's like a $1,200 expense to try to have it redone.
That's the sediment going in the lake right there from the road.
Have you three been there to actually see this?
I've been to this site three times, I think.
Well, I've probably been there more than that.
Have you been to this site?
Yeah. Only before, not since the repairs.
Have you gone over and seen the project done?
No.
There's not a single bit of lining in any of those ditches.
And there's no water going to that side as far as I can see. Everything comes on our lawns and down our driveways, which, you know, I had somebody come out and give me a quote. It's a minimum of $1,200 just to re-shale, and all the shale ends up in my grass.
So the berm that you had there was holding the water in the road and making it flow down the road. And so it was in the berm. The berm was inside the town road right away. Okay. We maintained 25 feet from center. We took the berms out. If you want to put a berm in, put it 25 feet from center. And you can put a berm in there, and it'll protect your driveway. But we can't have one on the edge of the road. We take them out everywhere. All day long, they go around the grader and they cuff out. You see the grass that grows on the edge of the road? They cuff that out. It's not impactful unless it's somebody's property or driveway. But it's the same process everywhere. It was not targeted to any different property. You now have to maintain the water that is coming from that section of road in front of you. But you're not getting anybody else's water. Everybody's getting a little bit. And a lot of people have already dealt with a lot of it.
So this is not what it's saying, though, in this Better Roads manual that, who is it, Dan sent us. And speaking to actually other road foremen in the town of Vermont, this is not how they would have done it. So I'm confused as to how Charleston is thinking that this is right, yet two other Vermont towns would not even consider roading
up
people's
property. I have no idea
who
you talk to, or their credentials, or their town layout. It doesn't matter, man. Yeah. It really doesn't matter. We got direction from V-Trans, from Better Roads, and you guys have spoken to Better Roads. Better Roads told you that it was done correctly.
They didn't.
No,
they said
didn't.
They spoke to Wendell, and Wendell told them it was done correctly.
And I did it according to their rules and regulations.
The roads are not mine. Your ditches aren't mined. The ditches right there by the inlet are not mined. It's running
right
into the lake.
Do you know the grade that the ditch has to be lined?
I have no idea. That's not Adam.
So I'm going to let you guys continue with public comment. We're going to move on to anybody else that wants to.
Okay.
And then we're going to move on to the meeting. So do you guys have anything else?
Show the video.
Would you like to see the video of the water flowing right into the lake?
Can they do that without putting it into record?
She can send you the video.
You can send it to me.
Okay. Oh, email it to you.
And they did share some photos, which I gave
them. I have more photos here, but it sounds like it's not even worth it.
How many houses originally complained about this down the wall?
This is the first. We've actually had a lot of people complimenting us.
I mean, Tom, of course, the weeds and everything, the problem was in the first place,
down by the bridge, right?
Yeah.
How many houses down there were they complaining about?
The problem was that it was a very valid complaint that was dumping a lot of silt into the lake.
One house, two houses, three?
Did you have a video you want to play?
No, I'll give you your time. I'm going
to
send it to her. I'll just send
it.
I would show it right now so you can see
it.
It's an unreasonable amount of water. I understand what you're saying, but he's got a river.
Have you done anything to collect the water since we did the project?
No, because I don't feel like I should have to. And there should be either a ditch there, or it should go to the other side of the road. Excuse me.
Thank you. Okay.
What are your recommendations to do to fix that?
I'm gonna have to show you guys each separately, but. It's coming right from the road.
Have you seen that, Wendell?
What's that?
His video?
Directly into the.
How much rain was he getting?
Well,
2 inches an hour.
Well, I guess
2 inches and 45
minutes.
But
that's
still that. It's still
well, it does matter because it's hard to control 2 inches an hour.
Which is why we did the project, because if that road all the way down that hill gets 2 inches an hour, now we have a brook this deep on the side of the road that we now have to grade and gravel. And you know where that, you know where all that brook, you know where all that gravel went to? It went right into the lake. Now we're not seeing them brooks anymore. But you're gonna have to deal with the water coming off it. You're on the down gradient from the road. So I think about it this way. And this is what, when the project started, the reason we sent out notices to everybody. Let's take civilization out of this. Let's say we never built a road there. There's a huge bank on the side of the road. It comes right down to this beautiful lake. And that road, that water would have flown down through them trees and through the grass and through everything. There'd be no silt going to the lake. Civilization comes through and builds a road all the way through on the edge of the lake. And we have to have a ditch on the upside of it to catch all the water coming off that upper bank. And then just have culverts big enough on for 100-year storms that can disperse the water across the road safely as we can and maintain the safe travel for everybody. On the lower side, for everybody, you get half the water in the road. For everybody, everywhere. I live on Dane Hill, right in the middle of Dane Hill, and my driveway washes out because it's crowned in the middle and the water comes down from about, I don't know, 50 yards up, and then when it hits my driveway, and goes right across my driveway. And I have a culvert. I have a culvert that's 16 inches, 18 inches deep, and there's a ditch on both sides, and it still washes out my driveway.
How big is the culvert down the end?
But the water is dissipated out, and when it gets to my driveway, it washes out the edge of it. I understand that the water flow has changed, but the berm never should have been built inside of the road right away. I have no recommendations. I'm sure the people you guys have talked to, but you're more than welcome to build some sort of water bar berm 25 feet out from center that would make the water go onto your grass. But it can't continue down the road. It's not the direction for any town. Any town tells you that, they're lying to you.
I'm
not going to take that as any fact here. So, do you guys have anything else? Did you guys have anything else? Did you guys want to? Yep.
We have a new house dwelling on our property now, right across from the cemetery over here. Okay. And it's really hard for anybody to see. I wonder if we could get a blind driveway.
Wait, was this a different situation?
Oh, yeah, it has nothing
okay,
to do with that.
Okay, hold on. Sorry. I wanted to give you a chance to talk. You all set? Okay. So, you guys don't have anything else on this? For public comment on this project?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right, go ahead. What did you have for public comment?
I was just wondering if we could get a blind driveway sign going coming each way on that driveway.
You said you're across from the cemetery on 105?
Yes.
Would the state have to do that? Wendell?
What's that?
Blind driveway sign on 105, would the state have to? I mean,
yeah, that would be the state. That would be
we could probably talk to V-Trans for them, right? And see if I can look at it. I don't know what their requirements are because it's a state highway.
Is it a new driveway?
Yes.
Did you get an access permit from V-Trans?
No.
But it's off of 105?
Right.
You should definitely speak to them because
It was an old, the guy who used to live where we live, his father used to have a driveway. Well, there's a culvert there, so actually it was a driveway.
Right.
Years ago.
Any access off the state highway requires speaking with V-Trans because it's a state-maintained road, so I can give you the number of who to call on that.
But, yeah, if it's a blind, they'll probably look at it. If it's something new, they might be like, okay, it needs it, and I don't know what their requirement is, but we can't install them. They wouldn't let us. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't realize you guys, I would have gone with you guys first.
Oh, hey, I was glad to hear it.
Okay, do you guys don't have anything else? You can give you that number. It'd be good. Okay. Let's go to the fire department next. Don't make you guys wait any longer. Come on up.
Where do we start? Come on up.
Wherever.
He works out of the
RV office. I guess first thing
is, so give him a call. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, a question for like Wendell. Do you guys have any communication problems with your radios?
We occasionally do, but not as much as you guys are.
Have you heard some of our tones?
Yes.
Are they
I don't know what's going on with your radios.
Are the radios digital?
Yes.
Have you guys gone digital?
We got some ideas what's going on, but we just...
What we want to do and what we can afford to do are two different things.
To start with, we put the radio system in the early 80s, okay? The fire department, this is just for background.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not complaining or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
The fire department applied for that FCC license, okay? It belonged to the fire department, okay? Ground floor. From that point on, we had Horace Clark from Clark Communication do a lot of the work, well, most of all the work. He took it up on himself when the road crew started using radios, bought radios and stuff. He put it onto our system, which I was told by another company that should never have happened, because it turns it into a community radio system, not a first responder radio system. And then after the road crew come on, which we didn't have much problem at all, then
the bus went on.
The bus went on. Then we're having all kinds of issues. Now, one of the things I think will help, and well, one thing I got an estimate from Radio NOAA, but I don't even want to go there right yet.
25,000?
You wish.
So I used to own a FCC license when we had the building.
Yeah, I talked to the guy down there
and
about you.
And just, I know where this is going to go here, and I'm already saying, man, 2 years ago I let that thing expire. It took me 3 years to get it because Canada has to approve it.
Yes.
That's our problem.
And it is a nightmare. I could have turned that over. I didn't need it anymore, but I owned the frequency and the radio. You know, we had the upgraded radios and everything. Okay, so go on, sorry.
When I talked to John Peasy from Radio North this morning, he told us if we wanted to apply for a new FCC license, it would be a long period. But I'm trying to fix the problem without going that route. Because it's like $2,500 just to get an FCC license.
Yeah.
Okay? But what I feel is the main problem we've got right now, and it's not the school bus, and it's not the town crew, it's the repeater. That repeater is almost 50 years old.
Where is it? Is it a
It's in
shop?
The town garage.
It's in the shop.
It's here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. It's in the in Wendell's office. Yeah. It's been there from day one.
That's what we talked through.
Is there a tower up there?
Yeah.
Tower?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a tower.
Yeah, you know, I think it was 3 years ago, we just put a brand new antenna up. Because they said the antenna was, it's a fiberglass antenna. 20-foot one.
Yeah.
And it was, the weather, it was coming apart. Okay, so we put a brand new antenna up. And when they put the new antenna up, the guy told us that the coax cable from the antenna to the repeater was way too small. So they put a whole new cable system in.
Between that, it was damaged from the fire in the town garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, at that point, we got talking, and I feel that maybe our biggest part of the problem is the age of that repeater. That repeater is a 50-watt repeater, which ain't big enough. They want to go with a 100-watt repeater, and we can upgrade it quite a bit because right now we've got a backup system for electricity and don't need that anymore. So we can get rid of that whole system. And that system right there creates a lot of heat in there.
So it has,
I think you noticed that.
But I also, okay, between you and me, I
called up Burlington Communications. It wasn't last summer. It was the summer before the year we got the new truck. And they came up, and I spent X amount of dollars for them to check out our antenna. And
the one
all,
here?
Yep. And all of our coax going into the shop, our repeater, everything.
So you got a quote from Radio North there, but have they looked at any of the radios in your truck?
Not yet.
So just in some of my other life experience, so we deal with the same radios, right, in our trucks. And the trucks are pretty, they run all the time. So a lot of times, with like one truck won't be able to hear nothing. So you're able to, you don't have a lot of issue, but you guys are having issues with calls. Like, where were you when you had issues?
We can't communicate.
Calls? Even when dispatch tones us out, we hear nothing but just squelch, you know.
Do we have any extra radio? Do we have a different radio than they have?
No, we have Kenwood's.
I think they're the same radio we've got. Right?
But I'll tell you right now, okay, and I know what the incidents they're talking about, and that was over in Westmore when you guys were about the plane, right?
That's not the only one. Right now,
but it's every
but incident. Over in Westmore, okay, in Westmore, we have a really hard time.
Yeah.
We can do it. We have a really hard time over there catching each other.
So one thing that, so what's your recommendation is to look at changing the...
What we want to do to start out with, we want to replace that repeater, that old 50-year-old repeater, which is, you know damn well it's outdated.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And it's just a 50-watt, and they want to put in 100-watt,
yeah,
which should help cover double the coverage.
And how much is the 100-watt one?
Okay, the estimate is $10,590.
So... I don't know. I think there's a cost for it per radio. It used to be $15, but I think there's another option where we could run off the repeater at J, right? Like you have to pay to run off, but somebody else maintains them repeaters, and then you could talk to Rutland. Because that's what we do, and you can talk across the whole state because it repeats from the mount. Like there's one on Mount Mansfield, there's one on J. And I don't know what the cost is now, but like I said, it used to be $15 a radio. What do we have? We have three radios, four radios, probably.
You have one in every piece of equipment.
So five, six, seven.
So you got four trucks, you got two loaders, you got an excavator.
And then the bus, and then how many pieces of radio you got? Quite a few. Handhelds and everything, probably, right?
We've got...
It's probably not going to be the way to go.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say we got pretty near 20.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's something... wrong with the system anyway, because Brighton has got set up and they've got the tone on the backside of their frequency, and when they get toned they do not have a problem with hearing the town.
Yeah,
if we get toned it opens up our frequency, but yet when the town guys are talking they run right over top of us and we shouldn't be hearing them.
We're on the same frequency. Yeah, you shouldn't hear nothing. Yeah, you shouldn't be able to do nothing.
They're on the same frequency, but you got PL codes.
Does your radio lock it up? Yeah, but does your radio, like, when somebody's talking, you can't key the mic?
No.
Oh, so you don't have the digital radio then? The digital one, does your radio beep when you key the mic?
Yes.
Is there any way that maybe Radio North can, because I know they can test the signal and stuff, right?
Yeah,
they can
come up. Yeah, this is what we want to talk about. We feel that the fire department shouldn't cover all this.
Yeah.
Cost.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to split it three ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And we want to get the okay from you guys before I call back down and talk to John and have him come up and do the testing to get things started. Okay? Because the last time I talked to him, which he kind of ticked me off a little bit, he kept saying, well, the cost. Are you going to be able to cover the cost? I kept telling him, don't worry about it. We got the money. We'll do it. And he said, well, what's your budget?
So let's do this. Look, I don't know what you guys think. Here's what I'd like to see is if you guys can get a price from Radio North to come up and test the system and you get a price from Burlington Communication, because I think that we may find, like, maybe there's some radio issues. Maybe there's something wrong. Like, it could be the repeater. It's weird that, because I can tell you I got a scanner in my house. I have no problem hearing him. Now, he's on that radio. I'm not there all day when you guys have calls, so I'm sure you guys are having issues. I'm just wondering if maybe they can find, like, what it is before we throw a bunch of stuff at it. But that being said, Definitely supportive of
the
pain.
Because, like, so frequencies, they have a different one, and the town has a different one, right? So,
No. Oh, so you said, but, like, and I've always wondered who actually got the frequency, because I had one, right? And so, like the radio station, 92, yep. they only have FCC frequency. Yep. And anybody else broadcasting on it can be fined, like, so much a radio a day, and it's regulated by the federal government. Yep. You know, and same thing with these radios. It's a private channel for them.
Okay.
And they reach a lot further, but you got to put up a tower or something like that. Or you can use, like what I was saying, a repeater, a JP, but it's expensive. But when you use them repeaters, you go everywhere. And I think what they're saying is they can't seem to, they're having issues with it. So there's something wrong with the system. I feel whatever we find with the system, we even can talk to the school and be like, yeah, you know, the bus doesn't use it a lot. I mean, they could probably do something different with like cell phones nowadays, but they use it for just a call in when they have issues, right?
Be honest with you, I don't have a problem with it being on it, because in case of emergency, it's nice to be able to contact
them. Right.
Yeah,
it is that
you
good
can hear
that
them and
right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But see, the thing is that, like, we can hear, I got the scanner and I can hear the school buses, I can hear window fine.
Yeah.
But when our tones go off, all it is a bunch of static, squelching, and once in a while, it'll come in crystal clear.
So the tone, is that coming through the radios? Is that what that goes
yeah.
through? And you're getting it through the radio through the scanner saying,
Yeah. We'll get the tone, but when they start talking, trying to give us anything, it's nothing but just static.
And nobody's happy when that's going on.
Well, the whole thing is there's going to be a lawsuit for someone of these days. Somebody's going to die when we can't.
You have to call just to see what the tone is.
Yeah.
To figure out what you're
going
to
do. Right now, the tone, because then I automatically call dispatch.
Right.
And, you know, get what's
right.
going
right.
on.
So you're taking more time.
Yeah.
So do your radios go to scan?
Yes, you can.
Are they on scan?
No.
I don't really need it.
Because you don't
want
to have to listen to you all.
Scan.
So, no, but this is what I don't understand, okay? Our radios, if we take them off from scan, we don't hear you guys at all.
See, if we run our radios on dispatch channel, you guys will hear you all day long. We have to have it on our...
So are you on RPT or are you on TA?
RPT. We're on the repeater.
Okay, what happens if
but
you go
we got three different PL codes, is what they're called. We got the one for dispatch, and one for our repeater up here, and one for just if we're talking around on scene and not go through the repeater.
So I must have the same thing, because whenever they tone you out, I get it.
Your tone?
I get it.
Because you're on the same frequency.
Yeah,
but if I turn my radio off scan, I don't hear any of them.
Well, you can display a number on your...
What it does is it comes up as, okay, so it comes up as Westmore, Derby.
Here's a perfect way to check it. You guys said you had a scanner too. You guys can check this. When he keys his mic, there's a number that displays on that scanner. Is it the same one that displays when you guys key your mic? If it's not, somebody's running on the illegal channel. But I'm just wondering if that's why he's not having a problem. You guys maybe, and it still could be like, when was the last time you guys got a new radio, in a truck or something? Or is it the handhelds that you're having a problem
with? Everything.
Even
our handhelds, we got handhelds that's only, less than a year old.
And those are totally useless.
The handhelds probably would benefit from that 100.
Yeah, because they're only 5-watt handheld. He's got a radio in his truck, and I got a radio in my truck, which is 50 watts. And the radios in the truck, the fire trucks are all 50 watts. But the only way, even like when I get the tone, I have to wait till I get to the fire station to use the truck radio. Then half the time, I still can't understand what the dispatch is trying to say.
Do you feel like you have the same radio issues with the handhelds as the ones in the trucks?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're all the same. I mean, because the other night during that storm, we got toned out. And actually, when they toned it out, that came in crystal clear. But the minute we start trying to talk on the radios or try to get back to the dispatch, all we could hear is just static.
You can hear somebody, you know somebody is talking.
Right.
So
can't understand it.
And it's getting dispatch out there, very frustrated with us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not right. A good situation. Any, you know. So I don't know what you guys think. I mean,
I think we should get somebody to look at it,
check it out, and see what's going on.
There's so many moving parts with it, right? And like, so why the hell are you not having a problem? I'm just wondering if, like, if we just got a new truck, did we get a new radio in it? Do we have a used radio?
No, we got no radio.
Man. So I don't know if.
And I can talk to Mark.
Can we take that? Is it? I mean, it's not that hard to take that radio out of the truck. It's two wires in the back of it, and stick it in one of you guys' trucks, see if it makes a difference.
I don't think it would. I really don't.
If you guys are running on the same frequency, and you got this, and you're running on the same repeater, and you got the same radios, something's going. It could be an antenna. I mean, that's why I don't know. I mean, like I said, if they find that that's I'll support it. I mean, we got to do something there, but let's make sure that that's going
to
fix the
problem. Well, that's all we wanted, pretty much, is go ahead to have them up here, you know, and if they find it, the repeater, you know, so we can.
But to your point with them, what you want to see if you can get a price to it, and then you guys can communicate and be like, hey, I mean, get whoever. I mean,
Burlington Communications pretty much dropped the ball with us. They just told us we don't know what the problem is.
Burlington Communications.
That's what they told us.
I've had him come up, I think, 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And the guy's up here for 5 minutes. Oh, your signal's great. It's right at the top.
Yeah.
Is that Pete? I don't know who it was. I can't remember his name.
I got a guy I know that does some stuff. Let me get back to you guys. Let me see if he'll come up. And this is what he does.
The biggest thing tonight, we just wanted you guys aware of what's going on, because
you want to make sure you guys...
Somebody's.
I think we got to address it sooner than later. There's no doubt. Maybe I'll try to call the school, the principal there, and see if their buses or drivers are complaining that in certain areas.
I listen to them on like at night and stuff when they drop the kids off and they say the late bus. And
is their wife still on the board?
She is on the board.
I find that the buses
are drivers. Yes. Yep.
So he'll talk to his wife and see if
they hear him all right.
I find the bus is the worst.
Well, and so the thing is about, you know, I don't want this to come across, but what they're doing on the bus, they're like, if it doesn't go through, they kind of just continue. We're like, okay, we'll just keep going, unless they're off the road in the wintertime, right? They're like, but a little different with some of you guys are doing, what you guys are definitely doing, I think. So, I mean, I don't know what your thought is.
We don't know.
What's odd is with the school, right? The school has to switch to our channel in order to talk to me, where I can hear them perfectly fine. Just staying right on my radio.
That's why I don't hear the bus. They're on a different frequency. I don't have their frequency on my scale.
Yeah, but you have to go to that frequency. I don't want not their frequency.
As soon as they talk to me, I can talk to them.
But you get your radio on scan?
Yep. As soon as I talk to them,
but they're on a different channel and they're scanning over to yours.
Yeah, but just like you. I've talked to you on your fire repeater before. Right?
Yeah.
And when I do that, as soon as you talk to me, I can talk back to you.
When you guys are on the call, and he's plowing roads, are you guys on the same channel?
No.
Oh, yes.
Well, after we get once we're dispatched out, it opens up. So
I don't know how that works then.
Yeah, because we got a dispatch channel that our tones come in on, and our radio is set on that.
Yeah.
And once we get the tone, we go to our repeater channel.
Gotcha.
Because if we don't, dispatch can hear every conversation we do, and they don't like that.
Right.
Yeah, but we're working on the road. We're talking back and forth. And we're messing them guys all up.
That's why every once in a while I've heard you say,
can you guys, can the town be brought? And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is, they should be quiet right now, but like, this is like, right. But to the point of getting another channel.
But I
think we've got a couple channels here, and I'm just wondering if somebody looks at this and looks at what the bus is running on, what you guys are running on, what he's running on, maybe there's an opportunity here to give you your own channel. If we get off it, you know what I mean? Like, we can piggyback with school all day long, I think, right? Like,
yeah.
We don't necessarily have to be, I mean, unless it's the only option. If I'm wrong here and everybody's on the same channel. See,
we just got to come up with a solution sooner than later. We just want you guys to be able to work with us. And
I'm supportive of it. I mean, we got to get it fixed.
For sure.
You know? Yeah.
It weren't bad back a few years ago when we were on the regular wide band, but when they narrow banded us.
Split the frequencies, that really.
Yeah, split the frequency.
And I never had them come narrow band my radios. But they forced all everybody to do it. But the purpose was because it was running out of channels, right?
Yeah.
So they needed to.
Yeah, I used to. My daughter lives out on the North Road in Jay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I could sit in the North Road with my handheld and I could talk to the guys here in town. But yeah. Since they went that narrow banding, once you hit more the Derby corner store, Derby store.
Done.
Yeah.
That's it.
I can talk to my guys in Lowell.
I know what we're gonna do. We're gonna trade radio.
I said that. I said to put a radio in the truck and see
Let's
if
try. It's I mean, can you get a radio quick?
But I'm telling you.
Hey, put your radio in there, and if he starts complaining, we go. Hey,
can
we'll,
you switch
we got a problem with the radio?
Can you switch it pretty quick, or
it's just too what?
The frequency. No. It's like just like back to it's the PL code. They're on a different code. Yeah. It's on the same frequency, but it's a different code that opens it up.
Right.
You know.
So okay. can you guys hear Derby? Can you hear Derby?
Derby what?
Derby Highway.
Highway? No.
Can you hear Westmore?
No.
Not unless we're on their channel.
You can hear them?
I can hear Derby. I can hear Westmore. I can hear
Can you talk to them?
Yeah.
It's because somebody programmed them channels into your radio.
That's why. That's another thing. I think with the repeater.
That's why you're using your scan. Like most, like you guys have one channel on your radio. You don't want to scan. Right. You got at some point loaded all these.
My radio, I can go to scan, but if I do that, it picks up all 19 fire departments in our mutual aid system.
That's why you
can hear
me
talking to Brownington.
Yeah,
that's right. You can hear me talk to Brownington, and you know why we do that?
Yeah, well, no, I agree with it. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying.
No, but that's why we do it in case somebody gets in trouble and I'm on Fox.
So whoever did that also put our channel in their radio.
Correct.
Yeah, so, which is, I'm not saying it's
like they can call us.
See, we can talk to you, but we have to just shift our channel over to the town.
See, I don't have to.
Highway.
Yes, we do.
I could come right off my radio.
I'm wondering if this repeater.
It was this summer.
So this,
window, right?
This repeater's got a couple different channels
there,
on
burning,
right? Like,
this
channel, your channel. I'm wondering if there's something wrong with the channel on
yeah.
Like, your channel.
I
can
switch my radio.
Dude, that's why I wonder if
they
can come up
and
radio.
Right, yeah,
my
channel
the system and tell us
if I go to the dispatch channel, you talk all day long on it. I can hear it. Okay? So when we get our tone out off this channel here, we go to Charleston repeater, and we can talk
to me
among ourselves. Yeah, no, I cannot talk to you unless I go. Whoops. Yeah.
You gotta shift the.
So, what would happen? What would happen if you went to Fire TA when you were trying to talk to him? Would he come and clear as a bell?
If he's within range.
It's just like walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
But we don't go through the repeater.
Right, but what I'm saying is that, like, for us, okay, if I'm ditching in the excavator, and the boys are, like, from here to your place, I could talk to them in TA, and it comes in clear as a bell. If we're right on top of each other, I can't talk to them through a repeater.
Yeah, that's common.
But there's something wrong. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But we need to find it.
And I'm just wondering here, when you guys are saying, like, so you guys are definitely using different channels on that repeater, I'm assuming. And I'm wondering, like, because we've had times where, like, we run different lines of business in the truck, right? So, like, all of a sudden, roll-off can't talk to nobody. And you find out the repeater up at J, that top channel was bad, right? Or the receive channel is bad, and then they change it out. That's why you pay the fees, so you don't have to climb the tower atop a change. But to your point here, there's probably something wrong with the repeater or the channel that you're on. I mean, I wonder if they can switch it and just give him the bad channel.
Why do they want to give me a bad channel? I don't want the bad channel. I get mad when my guys ain't doing what I tell them.
If it's a quick fix, and we can get the work done, then I would support that because you guys need a channel that works. I mean,
yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Our tone don't, or our frequency don't come off J.
No, I know. Yeah,
ours come right from Newport and right to our repeater.
Yeah,
but
dispatch. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just we thought we had a problem there because Newport kind of sat down in the hole. But
have a good night.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks for coming. Well, I sent a text to the guy that does some work for him. If he does side work, I'll see if he can go over. But if you guys want to go forward with having Radio North test the system, I mean, I've got probably what, now I'm thinking $100,000 estimate there.
No, it was somewhere around $36,000. If we went all new.
Yeah.
And we had our own frequency.
I think it's worth spending a little bit of money to try to figure out if there's
I don't want to switch everything all around. I just want to make what we got better.
I know when I had them tested before, they come and they got meters, they hitch up to the wire, right? And keying them in, so they can tell like the strength of the signal, and they can tell if it's one radio.
We had one communication to that, and they come in and they say everything's perfect.
They did that here. Everything was perfect.
You're saying everything is, though.
I am telling you. And then I had them talk from here all the way over the mountain to Westmore.
Yeah.
And he came in clear as a bell.
Yeah, well, you're going to start going on the fire calls then, so you can do the communication.
I got no problem with the radio. I don't have any problem doing it.
I mean, if you guys got anything else on it,
we'll see if we can get it fixed.
Just wanted you guys' support, to dig into this, because we can't do it on our own,
Definitely. I mean, we need radios, there's no doubt. We're going to keep track of everybody.
I mean, I have dead spots with mine on the other side of the mountain.
Well, we've got dead spots. I mean, there's one spot up by Wayus's drive up in Morgan, on just above the town line there. There's a dead spot. But we got a repeater in our truck. We just hit that button, then we can...
And you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helps.
I'm sure you guys have radio issues. You're not here asking to fix it for no reason. So let's get it. Let's see if we can get it addressed. I know there's new technology too, but it's probably expensive as hell. But if the radios are good and the mics are good and antennas are good, then they should be able to tell if that repeater.
These are probably a couple of the oldest radios we got, and they don't even make them no more. But then the best ones we've ever had.
They are the best.
Right.
Those old Vertex radios.
Do you guys have the ability to have them do a test tone? Like, say I'm testing the radios, we got somebody here testing it. Can you guys to mimic what you're doing?
Dispatch could send you a tone
And then they can come over and look at our stuff and see where he's not seeing the issue. And I'm thinking they might see what the difference is on whatever we're doing here.
All we got to do is just get over to dispatch and they'll send us a test tone anytime we want.
Right. So. Okay. Yeah, that might be, if that's where you're having the issues, and then right after that, when you switch over, maybe they can figure out, it's this part, not that part. And maybe they figure out it's the whole repeater.
But like you said, as far as that battery backup, that can be
eliminated
right off now and just simplify it. Since it's got the generator and stuff. So
we got the same thing. We got the generator now too.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Well, that's what you're talking about. It's here.
Right.
It's got a battery backup on it. We don't need it.
Yeah, because the battery backup's up here in the...
Right. Yeah.
So I thought you had a battery backup over your shop.
No, it's the one up here in your office.
No, we're on a generator over there too, so if anything happens...
Something happens, you got...
Yeah. Yeah, no, let's see if we can get it addressed. Let us know if you need anything, and if we can help move it along, we'll do that.
Okay. While we got that, I'll take and give the guy a call tomorrow, see if we can get him up here and start testing.
Yeah. Just let me know when, because we don't work Fridays.
He will if he has to.
You work rest of the week?
And I won't be here tomorrow because I got concrete to pour, just so you know.
Let us know if you need to get in there. We'll get you in there.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Have a good night, guys.
Y'all are between, though. I'll help you out.
Yeah.
See you guys later.
Thank you.
Okay. Discuss the road report, and including the Willis Road. Official length and turnaround. Do you want to measure that?
I did. I would have measured it, and I also talked to the owner on the end, and I told him the situation, and he was going to try to talk to the neighbor about moving the camper so that we can get turnaround.
So, where does the road actually end, though? It ends past the gate, right?
It ends up to the post past the guy's driveway.
Yeah, but not all the way to the house at the end.
Yes.
Goes all the way to the end.
No, the house that we were turning, they wouldn't go spot there.
Yes.
Okay.
That's not what he's saying in this letter, is it?
Yes.
It is?
Yes. Yeah. So it doesn't change the fact that they have to give us a safe place to turn around.
Correct.
And that was why we stopped plowing up there, and that's why we met with everybody. Mm-hmm. So are they going to give us a safe place to turn around?
Right.
I'm asking you.
He hasn't said yes or no.
Okay. If they don't, then you have to go to the next save his turnaround, which is what we did.
That's what we're doing.
Anybody else have anything on that one?
Nope.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we can't rely on the map because even the map that VTrans shared with me, the site that they look at, which shows their like state highway right-of-ways and everything, and it shows the same distance, and it's not correct.
And it's marked wrong on the like the picture part of it.
Yes. So most of the time it's reliable, but the measurement is the final arbiter.
Well, that's something to keep in mind in the future.
Yeah,
sure,
I know.
Because we went off, you know, but, you know, the end of the day, what we were doing with that project was going around to all the properties and making sure the class three road, dead end class three roads, and make sure we had a safe place to turn around in the wintertime.
Right.
So they can just give us that. We're more than happy to plow up for that driveway.
Well, is this a new homeowner up there?
Yes, he purchased from Raphael.
So the other guy's not there? Or it is the same guy that was there?
It's the same tenant in the house.
Really? Him.
Jesus. Oh, but
this property owner is accessing his
the other one.
Past
okay.
The house.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Jesus. She has to pay some bills this week.
There's 3 weeks between board meetings. So accumulated.
Yeah, the enjoyment we had. So, anything else there, Wendell? We purchased the property.
Yep.
That's final. Thank you guys for taking care of that. That was super good.
A hydraulic study on culverts at the bottom of Bingham Road.
Okay.
And we don't have to go over it tonight. I know that it's been a long day, so we can go over it next week.
But it was very large.
Yes, it's 7 foot by 10. They want a 7 foot by 10 foot wide squish culvert.
You're going to get prices on it.
We missed one.
We'll talk. We can talk. Another. I missed one and he missed another one.
Yeah, the third one. Get prices on it. I've already got prices coming from Johnson Hardware. And I'm going to get prices.
I missed it. I don't know.
Okay. So the project was identified by you. Something we should probably look at. And we might be able to get we're thinking about grant, possibly.
Hoping. It'd be a category D, is that correct, Colin?
Right, it's the Better Roads grant for a large structure, which most of ours are ditching and small culverts. They're harder to get, but the program coordinator looked at it with Wendell, feels like it's critical for replacement and he feels like it would be competitive this round. The town will have to decide, do we forego applying for a smaller grant? The program often recommends, you know, if you're going to apply for the Category D large one, you might also apply for the Category B, which are smaller projects, because, you know, you might not get the D, but I think we might go all in on the Category D this time. It seems like it's a better choice. But
well, it's up to you guys because, I mean, honestly, you got a lot of money for the Category D that you're going to hand out. Then we got a lot of money for the engineering and the process that we got going for the one above it.
So dollar value, what is $25,000 or $20,000 match?
No, so these are, they've been $60,000 grants going up to 70 apparently for next fiscal year.
And the culvert's around 30, right?
I don't know yet. I haven't got the price back from them.
But it's still the 20% match.
Okay. Is there a deadline on like getting it? It's not going to happen this year, right?
No, this is for next year's grant.
Yeah, the application period hasn't even opened yet.
Yeah, okay. So a good first step is probably to get a price on the culvert and see.
And I've got Johnson Hardware looking into a price right now, and I'm going to try out the farmyard store for a price too, to see which one's more expensive. I know in the past the Johnson Hardware has been cheaper.
And have you already reached out to Chris Brunel?
I haven't reached out to Chris Brunel, but I have reached out to Eric Pope, and I have reached out to Dan for the Better Back Roads program.
Because those Category D grants require a letter of support.
Two different permits, one for the perennial streams and one for the
Yeah, so it's
the, I have it written down up top. It's something to do with the guard.
The Army Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, the Army Corps of Engineers. There you go. The Army Corps of Engineers.
Close.
Trying. It's been a long day.
Did we send letters to the people that had the culverts that needed to be addressed?
Yes, we did. Okay. Those went out Monday. Yeah, everyone got the same letter, sort of general, that they had been modified and, you know, the reasons why we had to have an outlet in the right-of-way. And then I gave everyone specifics on their property with a photo of where the outlet should be and asked them to call Wendell to, you know, to figure things out.
I think the culvert that's got the stone wall, is that what's going to go in there? 2 foot?
30-inch.
30-inch? What's there now?
2-footer. And the only reason why I want to put a 30-inch in there is I have it up here. And
what do they recommend? What would they recommend there?
A 2-footer, but you need to upsize when the storms are bad.
Yeah, no, V-Trans said a 24 or 30.
Yeah. That's why we got the 30. You know, bigger is going to work for the 100-year storm.
They explained that there's a really wet area across with, like, little, you know, sort of soft growth, and they said that actually does store quite a bit of water, so it doesn't have to be larger than 30, but it has to be larger than what's there.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
And for, anybody got anything for Wendell?
Nope.
Approved placement of $3,000 VNA in hospice article in 2007. Is this something new or something?
Nope. Not anything new. This is the support they got last year, so they're requesting it. Yeah.
I think it's just to put it on for the
ask. For the warning.
Do we have to do that with all the asks?
They're required to send an ask letter.
I thought it was only if it changed. No, oh, they have to.
No, if it changes, they have go back to do petitions. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Approved shelter site for MOU with Charleston Elementary School. Proposed executive session.
Unless you want to just pass it through. If there's any discussion.
So it's the current situation right now, correct?
Yes.
I don't have an issue with it. Basically, if you want to quickly say, basically this is the emergency shelter of like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're not sharing a lot of public information for safety reasons.
Gotcha.
So if you want to discuss it, I would go into executive session.
Nope, good. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, do you need a motion? I'll make a motion to approve the shelter site for MOU and Charleston as well. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any new business? We got the hydraulics.
Do you have one to sign?
I know you got me one in here.
I can just pass mine around if you want to use that one. Is it just chair? Or I forget now how he set it up.
I don't know. I don't have my glasses.
Yeah, it's chair approval there.
Okay, there you go. Mr. Chair.
Approve BEC right-of-way occupancy permit for the Church Hill in Mill Street. This was the one they proposed a temporary pole. They didn't want. Now they got a permanent situation in our right-of-way. Is that what we need? Mm-hmm. Basically, we need to give them approval to put it in the right-of-way. Mm-hmm. You good where it is?
Second.
You good where it is, Wendell?
Yep, I'm good.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? How's that?
Discuss. Okay, that one needs 3 signatures on the left-hand side. There's 5 lines.
Needs a road commissioner too? Says that they're required.
No.
Should we sign it twice?
Yeah, right.
I think it's only if applicable. Yeah.
Okay, discuss survey, current use options, and other needs regarding pit land.
I think we're okay, aren't we?
No, I don't think we need to, but I wanna talk about it a little bit. I think I wanna make sure one thing that like I think that the pit was a very good purchase for us. It was a great price. It butts our property, it's why we did it. But how do we make sure that future boards, people know that you don't touch this pit, you don't try to pull a permit on this pit until we're done with our current pit. It will screw up our current pit.
Right.
We are grandfathered in. So if there's a future school select board in here and they decide, oh, let's go pull a permit on that 10 acres, we should not do that. It's not recommended. It's not what our plan is. Our plan is when we're done with this gravel, then we got this 10 acres and it butts up against it.
Exactly.
The other thing is that we do need to try to get the survey to satisfy the UVM mineral rights. And I think that probably makes sense to do now or through the winter or whatever to try to get that done. And so that, like, we got the UVM releasing the mineral rights for the gravel and we don't have to deal with that in 20 years, right?
Right.
That's done. Other than that, I think that some of the things we've discussed is donating the rest of that land to some sort of beneficial process. I don't know what that looks like, but...
So the other thing that has to happen immediately is it has to be re-enrolled in current use with the town as the owner. We have 30 days, and it... I think it makes the most sense, probably serves the town best to enroll the entire thing. There was some discussion of not enrolling the surveyed gravel-rich area, but we don't know what that is yet.
Yeah.
And if we leave it in current use, that keeps the tax burden low. And when it is withdrawn, there is a 10% of the value fee that's paid. But
just what's withdrawn, right?
Yes, just what's withdrawn. If the town doesn't do that until the town is extracting gravel, the cost of the withdrawal is offset by the value of the gravel, you know?
Yep.
Meanwhile, the town pays low taxes on it.
When does the current use expire?
How
old is it?
I want to say, when was the map? 2021? I think his map was dated 21.
So there's 5 years left then.
Right. I think that's right. We need to call current use because it's not clear whether we can, you know, there's a reapplication that has to happen. It's simple because it's just a new owner.
Yep.
We don't know if we can use the same map or modify the same map. But yes, the current 10-year period has a few more years left in it.
I think it would be beneficial maybe to have a conversation at town meeting too, just to, you know, let everybody know that, you know, people probably know by then, but even explaining what I'm talking about, like, you know, we might have 30 years of gravel, we don't know, but we're going to have more gravel because of this property, and even if we don't touch that property, right? So.
Now, are you looking after getting it transferred?
Do you know who we would talk to do that survey that UVM needs, or would our lawyer have to tell us who to? I don't know what it was they were looking for. Basically, I think what they wanted to know was that maybe our surveyor can do it. They wanted to know that it was just the 10 acres they were releasing, right? If it's 10.5, whatever, right? They wanted somebody to survey where the actual gravel we thought was,
right?
And that would be the only place that has the mineral rights released. So if we were to find gravel out in the middle of the swamp, we can't be where we got
it. Yeah, I don't know what kind of expertise that requires. Because it's not just a survey, it's some determination of the natural features,
well, I think,
right?
The way I took it, maybe this would be a good question for our lawyer, right, was that we were just asking for this set property to be released from the mineral rights for gravel. We don't know that there's gravel there.
Right.
Right. I'm pretty sure there is. But we didn't have to prove there was gravel there to have them released. They were just going to say, here's the delineated area that we're like, okay, just for gravel. But if you find gold, you're calling.
So the town knows how to...
No.
delineate that area?
No, but we just had our property surveyed, right? And I'm thinking if our lawyer says you just need to get it surveyed and say...
But how does he know what to survey?
He could show... It's basically, there's a higher gradient area there, and then the rest of the property is just is wetlands,
oh,
right?
I
can
see.
We do some test digging?
We own it, he can go out there right now.
But right now, our excavator's down.
Yeah. So when you get a chance, you could go out there. How deep can you dig? 15, 16 feet?
I can dig probably. Yeah.
If we wanted to go deeper, we could get somebody like Jason to go out there. Jason's going with a big excavator. And we talked about, 2 years ago, I know we talked about, we got some prices and talked about doing some test boreholes.
Yeah.
It's pretty expensive. And the problem that when you talk to people about doing the test bores is it tells you what's right there.
Yeah.
Right? And so you got to drill a lot of them. And so it's wicked expensive. Whereas we could just
take a few some holes.
And I think we thought it was beneficial for the town to just buy it. And we're pretty sure, like, all the properties around it are all gravel. So, I mean, if that's the high knoll and it ain't gravel, well, I get it. But
there's
gravel there.
Watch it be all gold. Ledge.
I hope it is.
Okay. Yeah. So Terry and I are prepared to reach out to current use to figure out what's necessary, and we can let the board know. Our attorney is back in the office Monday, so if
you want me to call him, or do you mind sending him an email? What do you want to do? I mean, I don't know. I just want to know. I don't want to send him an email because the conversation is not free.
It
costs $750 talking to
me. Right. Yeah, I guess.
Well, why don't we get the test holes done first?
Well,
when do you want me to do that? When do you want me to go up here and dig a few test holes? I can't.
Whenever the test players back in.
Yeah. You can, but I think we still need to get the UVM to release the mineral rights because you're not going to be able to cover the 10 acres. And you're going to dig a couple holes and say, yep, the gravel here. You're probably going to start close to our property, ain't you?
No.
So you can get to the backside?
Yeah, they've already cut off the trees on that knoll.
Have they stumped it?
No.
Okay, so as soon as you can, dig some holes, and then we'll... I mean, we don't need to do it in a second. I just think that that's the next step. Before
And we have a surveyor we can contact, so you could talk to him.
And then I'd have a better idea of what I want to survey.
I think the way I took it was, what if it's 12 acres, right? Just tell us what you want.
If you call them.
If it's 20, we don't know.
For current
That's the way I read the email. Like, they wanted assurance that it was just
I was just going to call the
delineated
department.
So, that's probably where the thing was issued from, was Newport.
Okay.
But I know LeBrec has gone right up to the property.
But they're usually pretty helpful.
Of it, and he's into the gravel. So, what's that tell you?
And for decades, it's been a gravel, the whole area, like, that whole area has been a gravel extraction place. Again, our pit is grandfathered in, and it's grandfathered in for 25,000 yards a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
A year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we won't have any issue even when we're out of gravel with this one to pull a permit on the other one, just as long as there's some gravel there. But in my mind, like, we should just finish this process and get that UVM letter saying,
yeah,
go ahead, and then down the road, like, whatever. And hopefully, my hope is, like, in 20, 30 years, something changed with Act 250 or the way they deal with these type of situations and be like, just, you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be a big thing. It's a gravel pit. It's coming out the same driveway. You know what I mean? It was a no-brainer, I think, for us. So,
I will be following up on the current use because that's the short deadline. And should I reach out to the attorney and let him know that we're going to take a look at the area?
We're going to dig some test holes, but if you can just ask him what we need to give to UVM to get to that last piece, basically.
Okay.
Is there a certain, maybe he just says, just get it surveyed.
And when, right? Yeah.
I think they want to know how big the area is, whether it's 8.5 or 10.3
or...
Right.
Or
they want to leave it open to go ahead, whatever's there for gravel. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So if he digs some test holes, we have an idea
from
here to here. To there to there.
Yeah, because you can get
how many acres is it? And
I'm hoping, yes.
Yep, that makes sense. And I'll give credit where credit's due. Wendell found the property. So, good job.
Well, thank you.
Just need a finder's fee?
No. But if anybody's opposed to it, we'll send them your way.
No problem. Sounds like I'm making friends all over wherever I go.
Any other old business? No. Nothing, Colleen?
No.
Approved bills and orders?
Yep.
Is announcements, information, nothing. Next meeting's August 27th. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hey, what do you want to do with that?
Hold on just 1 second. So it is 7:04 a.m.